There was heated testimony last night in Chicago, the latest in a series of hearings around the country about a key federal immigration program. It's called Secure Communities. The public meetings are providing a noisy venue for protesters who want the program dismantled and for its backers who say it's making America safer. As Chip Mitchell of Chicago Public Radio reports, those who oppose the law have a high-profile ally in their fight, the governor of Illinois.
The Secure Communities program enables the federal government to use fingerprints from local police agencies to identify jail inmates who lack permission to be in the United States. The Department of Homeland Security is looking for ways to keep the program from eroding community trust in local law enforcement. The department has held hearings in Dallas, Los Angeles, and last night, Chicago.
We resign from this hearing. We think you should resign too and join us outside.
There was more than an hour of passionate testimony. A Mexican-born mother said Chicago police arrested her husband after a mix-up over some broken car windows. He ended up in deportation proceedings. The woman held up a federal order for him to board a flight back to Mexico this morning.
He's leaving. Do you really think that this program is working? How many more families have to suffer?
But retired teacher Brian McCann brought up a hit-and-run incident that killed a Chicago pedestrian this summer. McCann said the victim was his brother and the driver, an illegal immigrant.
The offender hit him and then stepped on the gas, rolling over his body and dragged him several blocks. The offender had recently completed 2 years probation for another aggravated felony DUI.
The Obama administration says Secure Communities is just the tool for deporting such felons. Since the program's 2008 launch, officials say it's led to the removal of more than 86,000 illegal immigrants convicted of crimes. The program has also snared thousands of others who've not been convicted. In May, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn pulled his state out of the federal initiative. New York and Massachusetts followed with similar steps. But this month, the Obama administration told states they have no choice. Attorney Brittany Nystrom of the Washington-based National Immigration Forum sees grounds for a court challenge. She points, for example, to a federal agreement for Illinois to take part in Secure Communities in the first place.
There is a termination clause that at least Governor Quinn activated when he decided to opt out of the program.
So Nystrom says the Obama administration may be vulnerable in court. Attorneys with two immigrant advocacy groups say they're talking with Governor Quinn's office about legal options. But a Quinn spokeswoman says it's too soon to discuss any options. The federal government, for its part, is playing down the Illinois agreement. Here's John Goudelet of Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
It was one of those things where we wanted to be able to work with the locals and let them know about the program. But from the operational side, it's a federal information sharing between two federal agencies, and it's congressionally mandated.
And the federal government is expected to hear even more debate when it holds another public hearing on Secure Communities next week, close to the nation's capital in Arlington, Virginia. For NPR News, I'm Chip Mitchell in Chicago.
Joe Biden is on his first trip to East Asia as vice president. He's meeting with his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping. Biden is trying to build some personal rapport with the man who is expected to take over next year as China's top leader. NPR's longtime Beijing correspondent Anthony Kuhn joins me now. And Anthony, there are a lot of questions about this next presumed leader, Xi Jinping.
Indeed, Xi Jinping is expected to be China's leader from 2012 to 2022, 10 years there. And yet it's very hard to get a sense of what he thinks and, what he stands for, because they're in the middle of a succession process. And that requires any Chinese leader who's been waiting in the wings for power for a long time not to stick out, not to make any egregious comments that will derail his succession. And indeed, you know, Xi has been to the United States before, and people did not really get a sense of who he was. But he will go off the beaten track with Biden and go to Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan province. They're going to try to bond over an informal meal of Sichuan cuisine. Then Biden is going to go with Xi to a high school that collapsed during the 2008 earthquake
Anthony, what can you tell us about Xi Jinping's background and any sense that he has any sort of reformist tilt?
Well, there are no indications from his personal comments that he's in favor of more democracy in China yet. There are elements in his background that suggest that he might be in favor of such reforms. And one of the main ones is his father. Xi Zhongxun was a veteran of the Long March in the 1930s, and the veterans of that were generally key people, key revolutionaries in the Communist Party. His father, you know, fell out of favor with Chairman Mao in the 1960s, was sent to work in a factory, later went to jail, fell into disfavor after 1989 when he opposed the use of the military to crack down on pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square.
So that's the father. What about the son?
Well, another interesting thing about the son is that he has a law degree. He also has an engineering degree, but most of the people older than him, people like current President Hu Jintao, have engineering degrees. There are not many people with humanist backgrounds. Xi Jinping has a daughter who's studying at Harvard, and his wife was at one point more famous than he was. She is a folk singer with an army song and dance troupe and was probably more of a household name than him until recently.
Huh. What about Xi's public remarks? Any clues there to his thinking?
Well, there are many remarks that people point to. Let's listen to some tape of remarks he made at the Chinese embassy in Mexico City in 2009, which a lot of people were quite surprised to hear. What he says is that there are a few well-fed and idle foreigners who make unwarranted criticisms of China. He says that we don't export revolution, we don't export hunger or poverty, and we don't jerk you around. So what else is there to say? Now, this was such an unscripted, off-the-cuff-sounding remark that people were quite surprised. He's essentially saying that what happens within China's borders is not foreigners' business to criticize. He's also raised some eyebrows by saying that the Korean War was a great victory in pursuit of world's peace. And he's also indicated that he wants a lower-key sort of Chinese official who talks straighter and uses less jargon. So we can't expect a continuation of the sort of populist streak we've been seeing from past Chinese leaders.
NPR's longtime Beijing correspondent Anthony Kuhn. Anthony, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.